Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the Alex Jones Show is live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a bunch more to talk about still today. We'll move on from Europe for now and focus on American politics and the war in Iran. This video was posted by Ivan Raiklin earlier today, and we'll pair it later this hour with a video of Donald Trump making threats against some of our allies in the Middle East. This was posted by Ivan Raiklin earlier today. No new wars, promises made, promises made, certainly made. Let's watch.
And authorize the strike.
The war began exactly 365 days after that dramatic dressing down of the Ukrainian president in the Oval Office.
Operation Epic Fury!
Operation Epic Fury, a joint attack by the United States and Israel.
A year of fighting wars.
President Trump's approval rating hitting a new all-time low.
Now defining Donald Trump's presidency.
Trump's one-time close ally, Tucker Carlson, disgusted.
Tulsi Gabbard, director of national intelligence, has resigned.
U.S. forces conducted self-defense strikes in southern Iran Monday.
New strikes against Iran, even as talks may be moving forward to end the war.
The question now is, could Cuba be next?
No new wars. No new wars. No new wars. That's very good.
They thought I was going to start a war. Let me tell you something. I'm going to stop World War III.
Incredibly powerful stuff and incredibly disappointing the Trump administration has been. Of course, he did start the war, the one major war that we were supposed to avoid, that we elected Donald Trump to keep us out of. He instead plunged us into. And folks, I don't think it's a coincidence that in his second administration, Trump has not been bombarded with scandal after scandal fabricated by the mainstream media. I don't think it's a coincidence that he just got an agreement with the IRS that he'll no longer be audited ever, he or his family, for the rest of his life. I don't think it's a coincidence that the insider trading and the corruption of this White House has been greater than anyone ever before, and yet it goes totally unremarked, again, by the mainstream media or by the DOJ or anything. I think he made a deal. What I'm saying is I think he made a deal, and I think he's in on it now. The whole thing, the whole corrupt agenda, is now his agenda, and he's pushing it forward with the AI centers, with the Howard Lutnicks, with the offshoring, with the John Paulsons that surround him. He has given himself fully over to the tyrants who are building the digital panopticon all around us. We're going to get into that today and talk about the desperation with which they are building these data centers and what would motivate such desperation and why Donald Trump is walking alongside them step by step, why he is allowing his DOJ to be used politically to set up what I believe to be a new war on terror that will firmly be focused against people like myself and, yes, even people like Hassan Piker. And we'll talk about Hassan Piker this hour, because while my initial knee-jerk reaction was to be happy that this like person who constantly promotes violence and is just obviously a domestic terrorist in waiting, like, good, yeah, screw him. But we're going to look at the details of that. We're going to look into what actually is motivating the prosecution of Hassan Piker and why I think it's deliberately being targeted on Hassan Piker, just like they targeted Alex Jones with the censorship in the first place. They want to target people that they know most other people will go along with their oppression because they've destroyed their reputation in the mainstream. Now, Hassan Piker deserves it, and Alex Jones doesn't. There is some subtlety and some nuance to all of this. But long story short, Donald Trump is on board now. With globalism, the Iran war was one major step, but it's not the only one. The AI data centers, the surveillance, and the control grid is going in under...
I want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is Rocket Fuel.
This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
TheAlexShow.com.
Listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of the Alex Jones Show is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Follow us on X at AJN Live. Make sure to share the URL, alexjoneslive.com. The alexjonesstore.com is how you support us, of course. And we've extended the BOGO sale. It's BOGO Sups still on thealexjonesstore.com. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture and Methylene Blue Tincture. Buy one of those and get a second bottle absolutely free. Of course, it keeps us on air and in the fight. And no matter what you need, there's something for you at thealexjonesstore.com. Unless you're perfect, I mean, unless you're an immortal god being, unless you're, you know, some sort of Nephilim creature that has no pain and never suffers, you know, brain fog and never has trouble sleeping, unless you are, you know, a specimen of physical health that never has any physical ailments whatsoever, there's something for you at the Alex Jones. For all human beings, every mortal human being on the planet can benefit from the alexjonesstore.com. We sell the best supplements in the world, refined, purified, made bioavailable, and with massive discounts. It's amazing, to be honest with you. It's just the perfect setup to keep doing what we're doing. Again, this is what has allowed us to not be subject to the whims of advertisers. It's what's allowed us to build our own platforms when our platforms routinely get stolen from us through legal abuse. We have been able to stay on the air in the fight and the top of the media landscape because you go to thealexjonesstore.com, because you buy fantastic products, because those products are amazing and work well, then you return and buy more. That is the game plan. That's the business plan. And so far, so good, because you patriots, freedom lovers, God-fearing American citizens gone out and people all over the world have gone to thealexjonesstore.com, purchased a product, kept yourself tip-top condition, and kept us on the air. We cannot thank you enough. We know that people that listen to us aren't exactly the lazy type. You're not exactly the type to live off the government by choice. You work for your dollars, and we appreciate when you spend them at thealexjonesstore.com. We put it directly back into this operation so that we can attempt through peaceful means to reclaim the world that is actively being stolen from us. I thought this was interesting, an interesting corollary to what our guest Frank Wright was talking about when I asked him, you know, why his video went so viral, why it touched so many hearts and pulled on so many heartstrings. And he basically says, because I'm a sane person in an insane world. I simply expressed sanity, and there's such a dearth, there's such a lack of basic sanity, basic acknowledgement of reality in the world that it seems like a unique and unprecedented event. And we're experiencing the same thing here in America. From Jesse Arm on X, he says, this is the best piece yet at distilling what the Spencer Pratt phenomenon is all about. Spencer Pratt, conservative Republican running for governor of California. His rise represents the shattering of the honesty taboo in Los Angeles and other poorly governed big blue cities like it. This says, if you had to distill all of this criticism into something coherent, I think it might just be that Pratt reminds liberals of Donald Trump, who they hate, and he talks about crime, which is bad for lib politicians. People also have a lot to say about the AI-generated campaign advertisement fans have produced on Pratt's behalf, which many pundits incessantly credit to the candidate himself, but it's not clear why they hate these things other than their general appearance of effectiveness. And again, Pratt has nothing to do with them. Still, I do agree the guy's a little bit like Trump, not just in terms of disposition or, from what I can tell thus far, any of Trump's most popular positions. Pratt is just another funny, charismatic white guy from the world of entertainment who obsessively discusses an extremely popular issue. We are not, as good upstanding people in a one-party state controlled by the DNC, supposed to discuss. Right? He's talking about the crime. He's talking about the homelessness. He's talking about the stuff that you're supposed to not just accept, but see as a permanent and inextricable part of being free. Do you remember when Tucker Carlson went to Russia and was showing how the subway systems were clean and free of crime? And what was Jon Stewart's response to this? It was to say, all of the filth and the crime and the chaos in the subway, that's a consequence of freedom. If you hate the filth and crime and being shoved in front of a train on your way back home from work, it's just because you hate freedom, because that's an inextricable part of freedom, is the misery and the chaos and the murder and the death. It's a lie. That's a lie, but that's the lie they want you to believe. So they think that anybody opposing the chaos, anybody who wants to clean up the trash or the crime, really, they're going after your freedom to be abusive jackasses to your fellow citizens. No, that's not a freedom. It's not a freedom that you have. That is you destroying the freedom of other people to live in peace. As we know, peace is a prerequisite of freedom. To a certain extent, Trump's winning issue continues to be immigration, but for Pratt, the winning issue is the obvious fact that many of LA's homeless quote-unquote victims, who Americans are expected to imagine as exclusively a class of sweet-spoken, down-on-their-luck single mothers, are in fact drug-addled criminals. Running as a Democrat in a city controlled entirely by Democrats, from the bureaucrats who run the place to the reporters who cover the bureaucrats, is mostly a sweet gig, but when things start to crumble as badly as they have in LA, and you're completely and you've completely defeated the neutered Republican Party you're supposed to keep around for purpose of witch burning, the act of noticing problems becomes taboo. An honesty taboo, if you will. You're not supposed to notice problems. So this is sort of the soft, societally enforced version of what Europe is going through, right? In Europe, they will literally just send you to jail for telling the truth about the outcome of their policies. We don't have that yet, although it is coming. What we have now is people who will simply try to demonize you and call you a fascist and say that you are hateful if you point out the consequences of the policies that they pursue, which inevitably and ubiquitously and exclusively harm the people of the city that they're supposed to help. So there you go. Again, I can't just have my whole show be showing you videos of what's going on in Europe. But like, do you see that? Like every single one of these pages is another video of another like random attack of Muslims. I'm going to save it for tomorrow, though, because I've been doing too much of that this week. And we've got problems here in America that are compounding, that are building one on top of the other, that are like coalescing into the prison planet dystopian hell world that Alex Jones has been warning about for the last 30 years. It's happening. It's being implemented as we speak. And it's not exactly subtle the way that they're doing it. They're just calling you anti-Semitic for noticing. So I want to try to draw some connections here, draw some lines between things that are occurring that may seem separate, but are in fact very, very related to one another. And this is the thing. I want to talk about what's going on with Hassan, because I don't think that it's legitimate the reason they're going after him. I think it is being very carefully engineered to create the precedent for going after people for their political opinions, utterly eviscerating the First Amendment. But they're doing it in a very careful way to get those of us who are on guard against things like that to go along with it by targeting somebody that we in general despise, Hassan Piker. He's sort of the embodiment of everything that's wrong in this country. Nepo baby, immigrant, rich boy, cosplaying as a champagne socialist and calling for violence as he attempts to tear down the very country that's given him everything. He's a despicable scumbag. Does he deserve to go to jail for his political opinions? Probably yes, to be honest with you. Yes, he does. So why am I not going along with it? Because I don't trust the people doing it. Here's my question. Do you think Hassan Piker is being investigated because of his activity with Cuba? Do you think that? Do you think that the United States government forced the expulsion of the president of Harvard because of DEI or because of, you know, her copying somebody's work? Do you think that's why they put the pressure on Harvard? Do you? Do you think that TikTok was being forced to be sold from China to David Ellison or Larry Ellison because they were pushing propaganda on the American people, Chinese propaganda? Do you think that's why that happened? See, it's not that complicated. We're doing these things for Israel. We're doing these things against our own people for a foreign state. People wouldn't be happy to know that. So they give it the most thinly veiled disguise you can possibly imagine. They simply assert that, no, this is happening because of something that you agree with. But it's not. It's happening because Israel wants it. So when it comes to Hassan Piker, yes, I do think that the government has more than enough reason to investigate or even prosecute him. Are they doing it because of those reasons? I don't think so. I don't think they are. One of the reasons I don't think they are is because the number of people who have done exactly what Hassan Piker is accused of doing. I guess I should give you the rundown here of what exactly is happening with Hassan Piker and why I don't think it is actually being presented honestly. And now I'm going to compare it to some other people that we know, people like, for example, Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. She did a hell of a lot more than Hassan Piker is even accused of doing with the very same people he's accused of doing it with. Why is she not being charged with this? Because that's not what it's about at the end of the day. What it's about is criticism of Israel. That's why Hassan Piker is being targeted. And I think I have very good reason for believing this, especially with the other stuff that Donald Trump is getting up to. Here it is. Hassan Piker names pro-CCP tycoon Singham as financier of political movements despite nonprofit veneer. Far-left political influencer Hassan Piker identified American Marxist tech tycoon Neville Roy Singham as a major financier behind a network of pro-communist U.S. nonprofits engaged in political advocacy and a lot of political movements, marking the first public acknowledgement from a figure inside the far-left network that organizations in the Singham network are operating with an explicitly political agenda. So I guess my question would be, is Singham being investigated or is it only Hassan Piker? That doesn't make a lot of sense, actually, if you really think about it. About 37 minutes into a six-hour live stream on Monday, headlined Feds Are After Me, punctuated with two cursing emojis, Piker stunned listeners knowledgeable about the intricacies of far-left networks by saying he believes federal investigators are ultimately targeting Singham and the organizations he supports, including Code Pink and self-declared communist organization Answer Coalition and Party for Socialism and Liberation for the political work that they do. I don't believe them. I don't believe that's what it's really about. I just don't. I think it's because he's anti-Israel. I think that's why they're targeting him. And I think, again, we'll see evidence of this in just a second. But Spencer Pratt, candidate for mayor of Los Angeles. Sorry, I think I said governor earlier. Mayor of Los Angeles. Spencer Pratt says, when I was in my 20s, I was on a TV show. When Karen Bass was in her 20s, she was training in terrorist tactics and guerrilla warfare with communists in Cuba. This was an LA Times story back when LA Times was still in LA and still used to tell the truth. They say a third plaintiff traveled to Cuba to learn guerrilla warfare. Plaintiff Karen Bass, according to a 1973 intelligence document provided to the Times, traveled to Cuba with the 6th contingent of Vinceremos Brigade. The brigade trains revolutionary-prone Americans in terrorist tactics and guerrilla warfare while claiming to harvest sugarcane. Bass, characterized as a brigade leader, returned from Cuba to the U.S., bringing back propaganda literature, the document noted, citing the source without citing the source of the information. So again, it's like, okay, arrest Karen Bass then. I mean, I think you can arrest Karen Bass. Like, when you have these open communistic networks in league with Cuba, in league with people all over the world who are not American, who are pouring money into America to discredit our system, to bring about a communist revolution, when it's happening at an industrial scale all over the country, call me a little bit suspicious when I see one political streamer being targeted for all of this. I don't buy it. I don't think that's what it's about. If it's what it was about, there's a lot of other big targets to go after Like, for example, Mayor Karen Bass, who in the 70s was caught leading communist Marxist training camps in Cuba. And that's kind of a big deal, I would think. You've got, you know, all this other stuff. But let's look at what Hassan Piker, because there is a, this is tricky, because they should be going after him. They should be targeting him for his what he's already admitted that he's doing. But think about it this way. Tim Pool and others were targeted because they unknowingly took money from somebody associated with Russia. They weren't taking orders from Russia. They weren't collaborating with Russia. They never even contacted anybody in Russia, but they were investigated because the company they were working for had received, you know, income from Russians. And this was a time when I guess Russia was under sanctions. So what happened was the DOJ investigated them, completely cleared them, found that they had not taken money to be a unregistered foreign agent, because this is what's happening to Hassan. I believe it's under FARA statutes that he's, you know, being pursued. Basically, they're saying you were working as a registered agent, but you never, or an agent for a foreign country, but you never registered as one. And again, I think this is what they did with the DOJ, with Tim Pool and others, was they did the investigation, found nothing to support the investigation, and yet published it anyway in a way that made people believe that these people had taken Russian money. And still to this day, you'll see people say, oh, Tim Pool, the Russian agent, even though he was totally cleared of it, they used it as a, you know, political weapon to target their political enemies. That's not what's happening with Hassan Piker. They're announced, you know, they made it very public and announced that they were doing it because I think the purpose is to normalize this, to normalize the idea that political commentators can be charged with crimes because of their political positions. I think this is bad. I think this is very bad. But we can go to some of the videos of old Chink's nephew, Nepo Champagne Socialist Horse Baby. There's a picture of him as a little boy riding a horse, and he looks like a little Lloyd Fauntleroy, and it's very funny that he now cosplays as a downtrodden revolutionary. Everything he is and believes is complete crap, just in case you weren't aware of that already. We got a few videos of Hassan describing this. And again, you know, I said when I first covered this that they're really out of practice in terms of the whole being subversive agents of rebellion. You're supposed to keep that secret, but they've gone unpunished and basically been told they're heroes for doing this for so long that they just come out and admit it. Let's go to clip number 18 here. Hassan Piker admits on stream the Cuban government reached out to him with a special offer. Let's watch.
I want to go to Cuba. Would you be down?
I fucking love Cuba.
Oh yeah, you'd be down?
Yeah, I filmed the documentary
The Cuban government actually hit my contact from the embassy and told him that if the only thing stopping us from coming to Cuba was the consistent internet access, we can make it happen.
Yeah, Cuba is sick.
Wait, the government reached out to you?
Cuba's
so
sick.
Yeah, of course. It's well, not reached out to me. There's a middleman there. I had a doctor from Cuba. Cuba does this thing called medical missions, uh-huh. And they've been doing it since I believe like the 70s. And it's incredibly successful. They have a massive, very robust, like, medical program, because kind of they have to, because they're under an incredible sanctions regime by the United States of America that the rest of the world thinks is abhorrent, except for America and Israel that keep consistently vetoing it over and over again. But this has created a...
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, the Cuban government got in contact with me. Well, a middleman. They got in contact with a middleman that I'm using to shield myself from, you know... Like, you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say you're using a middleman. A middleman is usually there to keep you away from, you know, being personally involved in the crime you're committing. But, okay, you just came out and said it. Let's go to clip number 10 here. This is him naming Neville Royce Singham as being the funder of all of these communistic deconstructionist movements that Hassan Piker champions. Let's watch.
I think that ultimately the target is probably Singham and his operation, from PSL to Answer Coalition to CoPink, like anything that he has ever financed. And it's not new. It's been around for a while.
But it's obviously, it's held through regardless because, like, it's ridiculous, right? It's, like, totally ridiculous to try and you know, to try and stop, like, the political advocacy of an American citizen, right? Roy Singham is an American citizen. He lives in China now. And he's a centimillionaire. I think he like has almost $1 billion. Not sure how much money he has now, but like he's been a funding vehicle for a lot of like political movements in the country, like a lot of activism. And they hate that shit. Like the American government hates that shit. So they're trying to jam him up. You know, they're trying to hit him on anything and everything they possibly can. That's it. That's the goal here. That's the broader goal.
I wish that was the goal, because we should be stopping people who are living in China, millionaires or billionaires who are living in China, from manipulating the American political system by funding gigantic, you know, borderline criminal doxing groups to go after their enemies. We should be going after them. I don't think that's what's happening, though. I don't believe that. I think they're going after people who are anti-Israel, and they're setting up the idea that that alone is enough to, you know, qualify you as a domestic terrorist and a leftist. Now, this is the thing. People are responding positively. They are enjoying the fact that Hassan Piker is being prosecuted, which I am too. Don't get me wrong. He deserves it. And I think it will be funny if he goes to federal prison. I will enjoy that very much. Of course, he may flee to Turkey because he's a dual citizen, because aren't they all? But I think they're setting a precedent here. And I think that we can decode this because it's not all that subtle. It's not all that nuanced the way they're doing this. I'm going to show you two videos that you've probably seen already, but I don't know why nobody else is making the connection. Sebastian Gorka just this week came out talking about how they'd be going after people who are anti-Israel as domestic terrorists, or going after lefties. And he says lefties, although he does a thing where he like starts to say lefty and he's like, well, Americans who something, something. But do you remember that the week before that, he talked about Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes being terrorists who were on the left? So when they say lefties, this is the dichotomy I've been talking about for the last 2 years that they're trying to push, which says you either are pro-Israel or you're a left-wing radical. And they're actually incorporating that into the like domestic terror guidelines so that anybody who's anti-Israel, even if you're far right, you will be labeled under the left. So all of the people right now going, oh, good, we're going after the left. The Trump administration is you know, breaking things in their rush to imprison the leftists, our leftist enemies, that's you if you don't like Israel. That's you if you're against the data centers. That's you if you're against the prison planet that they're erecting for us. They're calling you left wing. So they've got a bunch of right wingers who don't want data centers, who don't want to be slaves of Israel, cheering on the machine that will soon be turned on them, actually building and contributing to the panopticon that is going to be turned on them because they think it's going to be used on leftists. It's not. That's not the divide that people in power are worried about. I'll lay it on the other side. When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, pre-ordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd, and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body, as it is to all of our bodies, by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment with me, your host, Harrison Smith, for the Alex Jones Show. We're going to go do an interview that Alex did this week in the last hour of this show, and then Rob Duell will be taking over for me on War Room Live. You can, of course, follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow us at AJN Live. Make sure you're following at Real Alex Jones. Share the link to the URL, alexjoneslive.com. Now, I'm going to cover a bunch of stuff here that I hope we can draw together. We can, you know, connect the dots. You know, I say I'm a lot of people already know the stars. I'm here to draw the constellation, right? We know these things are happening independently, but how are they all connected? And what image do they create when you look at them all holistically and comprehensively? I think I can figure out what's going on here. So you've got Hassan Piker being targeted. He, of course, is one of the most distasteful and most hated people on the entire left wing. And so you've got a lot of right wingers going along with it and celebrating it as if it has anything to do with his left-wing positions. And maybe it has some little bit to do with it, but I think it's a heck of a lot more to do with his opposition to Israel. And at the same time that you have this sort of unprecedented expansion of this type of, you know, prosecution to political commentators, that's what he is, really, at the end of the day, you've got all this other talk about other forms of domestic terror that we're seeing rise, including opposing AI, opposing the data centers being built in your neighborhoods. They're calling you domestic terrorists for this. So what does this mean? What does it all mean? How is it all tied in together? Well, again, I think Sebastian Gorka sort of gives us the key. Well, he gives us the secret message and the decoder ring, right? So in this first one from Ken Klippenstein, who posted this, White House counterterrorism czar Sebastian Gorka says, we're going to label terrorists as terrorists, whether it's the cartels, whether it's the jihadis, or whether it's the left, and he starts to say left, the Americans who are left-wing, who are radical because they subscribe to anarchic, anti-fascist, or radical pro-transgender ideology. Again, this is the disguise. This is the costume that they're dressing up their tyranny in. It's not actually about this stuff. If it was, I'd be a little bit more in favor of it. Still a little bit concerned about the way that they seem to be lumping in political activism with terrorism. I don't like that. On the other hand, transgenderism is literally an attack on our country and has to be dealt with, but they're not dealing with it, right? They're not dealing with Antifa. They're not dealing with the protesters. I mean, look what's happening in Newark, New Jersey right now with the attacks on ICE. They aren't even cracking down on the violent physical attacks of people barricading the ICE facility so they can block the ICE agents in as they run around committing crimes. I mean, they're not even dealing with that, but you think they're going after Hassan Piker because they care so much about it? Like, please wake up. This has nothing to do with leftism. This has everything to do with building not just the American panopticon, but the world panopticon, America being the greatest barrier to that because of our historical adherence to the First Amendment and the restrictions that we have and what our government's able to do, which is why now they're moving towards more of a corporate style where they'll violate your rights through corporations. That way they can circumvent the restrictions of the Bill of Rights and the other foundational documents that define what we believe to be the proper function of government. Let's go to this video of Sebastian Gorka explaining that they're expanding terrorism to mean their ideological enemies, framing this in a way specifically designed to get the approval of right-wingers who would otherwise be the main barrier to this level of destruction of our rights. Let's watch.
We're going to label terrorists as terrorists. Whether it's cartels, whether it's jihadis, or whether it's sadly the Americans who are left-wing, who are radical, and because they subscribe to some anarchic, anti-fascist, or radically pro-transgender ideology, think they can kill Americans, whether it's six-year-old little baby children at the Annunciation Church and school, or whether it's your friend and my friend, Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, so if you're against this, I guess you just want to kill babies and Charlie Kirk, right? I mean, that's what's being presented, is you're either in favor of this because you also hate transgenderism, or you're against it because you like killing babies and killing Charlie Kirk, right? Is anybody falling for this? I mean, are you stupid as Sebastian Gorka thinks you are? Because this was him last week. So right there, he's framing the expansion of the definition of terrorism as applied to American citizens by the American government, of which he is a part. Sebastian Gorka has official position in, you know, counter-terror, and he's gunning for Joe Kent's job. Hell, he might get Tulsi Gabbard's job after this. He might be the ODNI if things, you know, proceed out of pace. It'll probably be either him or Elise Stefanik. Either way, it'll be an Israel first. Subversive in that position, going after Americans who oppose, you know, their ethnic group or their chosen greatest country in the world, Israel. But they're couching it and they're dressing it up in a way to slip under the radar of conservatives who would otherwise be on guard against this. White House counterterrorism czar Sebastian Gorka says, I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. So, and you remember when this came out, this is what I said. It's because it's not subtle. It's not confusing, like what they're doing. They're going to start arresting left-wingers claiming they're terrorists, and they're going to include Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, probably yours truly, and Alex Jones in that list because they're defining leftism as opposing the murderous regime of Israel. It's crazy. Yeah, U.S. push allies to chase a new terrorism target, the far left. Oh, those far left groups. Not the transgender people. They're still, you know, operating with impunity. They're not actually destroying DEI. They could, but they're not. It's just another of exactly the same trick being pulled, and we keep falling for it. And I can't understand why. The last one was the message, right? That they're going to go after leftists. Now here's the decoder ring explaining to you who they mean when they say leftists. All right, let's watch this other video of Sebastian Gorka from Ken Klippenstein.
I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. If you are lauding a Sharia law, if you are saying that there are Muslim states that seem to be better qualitatively than America in terms of freedom and prosperity, I'm not sure that means you're part of the conservative movement. So if you remove those individuals and you understand that they're not conservatives, what's left?
Well, I guess you get to throw them in jail. I guess you get to claim that they're leftists and throw them in prison, even though they're the most right-wing people in the political landscape today. Tucker Carlson, more of a traditional American small government conservative, and Nick Fuentes, more of a radical nationalist, racialist conservative, but both of them very, very far right. But according to Sebastian Gorka, who has a different dichotomy, has a different spectrum upon which he is labeling things, he calls them far left because he intends to go after them legally. Okay? Do you understand now? You can't support them going after people like Hassan Piker. It's a setup to destroy you. Now, if we actually had a right-wing government that actually was focused on domestic American policies and actually was concerned about getting rid of the DEI, the transgenderism, the communist agitation, then I'd be all in favor of this. But that's not who our government is right now. Our government is solely dedicated to pursuing Israel's interests that are at odds with ours. Again, remember what happened with the Harvard president. Remember what happened with TikTok, right? We're taking on 500,000 Chinese students a year so that Israel can control TikTok. We are paying the price. We are suffering, and Israel is benefiting. That's the arrangement. That's the situation we're in. And it's ubiquitous. It's in every single action the Trump administration takes. That's why I'm very suspicious of things like this. The DOJ wants to know who on Reddit and X is criticizing ICE's tactics. The U.S. Justice Department is seeking the names, addresses, and banking information of Reddit and X users ratcheting up efforts to identify social media critics of government deportation efforts. Does nobody find it suspicious that they are not arresting the people physically attacking ICE, but they are subpoenaing big tech companies for the real names of anonymous users who criticize ICE? Is that not an inconsistency that makes you question, makes you wonder, makes you think there's an ulterior motive here? You have, as we speak, we can roll the videos as B-roll, mobs of violent activists attacking ICE agents in Newark, New Jersey. They're not getting arrested. They're not getting driven out. They're not getting identified and approached by police and questioned for their activities. So they're not doing that. But they are trying to get your real name because you criticize them online. Again, they're doing things that are in violation of our rights, and they're doing it under the guise of conservatism, under the guise of supporting mass deportations when they're not even doing mass deportations. So what's it really about? U.S. Attorney's Office for Washington, led by Jeanine Pirro, a close ally of President Donald Trump, has subpoenaed the social media companies as part of criminal investigations, asking for personal information on at least two anonymous posters behind accounts that have chided immigration enforcement efforts, according to reports shared by attorneys for the users. Again, they don't say that they threatened violence. They just say they criticize them. And they're going to get right-wingers to go along with this. Who do you think they're going to be issuing subpoenas to discover the identities of next? Do you think this is the type of precedent we should be setting? Once again, if they're not doing the easiest and obvious, the easy and obvious thing to solve the problem of these ICE attacks, which I agree are a problem, then why are they doing this extraordinary stuff that isn't going to help? Because they're lying to you, because they're using this as an excuse to go after political dissidents. And it's going to be a short 2 years before the Democrats are in charge of doing the same thing for very dubious excuse, under very dubious excuses. Meanwhile, Candace Owens came out with this video yesterday. Absolute bombshell. Candace Owens exposes how Mitt Romney and Netanyahu used a Boston consulting group to build a massive intelligence alliance, because all of these people, all this Epstein class conspiracy, are coming together, and you know Trump is at the center of this, to institute the global Israeli control grid through data centers, the cyber dome program, constant surveillance, and both governmental and non-governmental doxing agencies like Stop Anti-Semitism or the Canary Mission or Code Pink or any of these. It is a unification of both the corporate, the non-governmental, and the governmental, all being controlled by the same people in all three of these positions, unified and working together, collaborating to build out the digital infrastructure to enslave you. It's very simple. It's happening right in front of you. And this is just another facet of something that at this point is impossible to ignore. Let's go to clip number 12 here. Candace Owens exposes how Mitt Romney and Netanyahu used a Boston consulting group to build a massive intelligence alliance. Let's watch.
But of course, you remember, you recall that we discover that Utah is indeed a special place, at least to Bibi Netanyahu, because the Romney family holds considerable political power in Utah. You can't think of Utah without thinking of the Romney family. They are effectively Mormon royalty, and Mitt Romney, as it turns out, is best friends with Bibi Netanyahu. They have a bromance that's been documented for years in the press, for over 50 years, longer than I have been alive. These two have been besties. We reminded you that they met at the Boston Consulting Group, where they both worked. And they haven't stopped working together and supporting each other since. I told you guys that Mitt Romney's presidential campaign team actually went over to BYU Jerusalem, where, as it turns out, a lot of CIA agents are recruited from. Their approach to work while they're in school during their studies, very interesting. We've confirmed that. Now, I'm going to remind you also that from the Boston Consulting Group, Mitt Romney founded Bain Capital with an Israeli spy, Robert Maxwell, Elaine Maxwell's father, as one of his seed investors.
Not exactly a coincidence. They're all tied into this together. And think about this, because we've got Sebastian Gorka saying basically that Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes are on the left in a way to, you know, label them as domestic terrorists in order to prosecute them or persecute them politically or legally, rather. And at the same time, and that's because they oppose Israel, essentially. That is their crime they're committing. They're not advocating terrorism. They're not doing anything of the sort. They do oppose Israel and the Israeli control of our government, and that's enough for them. At the same time, you've got people on the left, like Governor of Pennsylvania Josh Shapiro, saying that people who oppose AIPAC could also be considered terrorists of a sort, dangerous anti-Semites that are making the world less safe for Jews. So this is a right-left collaboration here, to pretend that they're fighting the far right or far left, the extremist on either side. At the end of the day, the actual dividing line is support of Israel. And places like AIPAC that are obviously foreign agents, they're not the ones being, you know, arrested or subpoenaed by the Trump administration. It's Hassan Piker that's happening to. AIPAC is obviously a, you know, Jewish ethnic supremacist group, as is the ADL, as are all of these organizations. They get to do that. They get to destroy people's lives if they feel that you're in opposition to their goals. But if you oppose them, you're the terrorist. You're the one that will need to be held to account. So this is what the data centers are for. Do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? They're creating a digital panopticon. The left and the right are in on it together. The people that are supporting Trump are lifelong Democrats and only came over to Trump when it became clear that he was the best for Israel. And they're now using their friendship slash control of Trump to create the data centers to surveil and criminalize opposition to them and their agenda, including the very agenda of building the infrastructure they need to carry out the agenda. Do you understand how all-encompassing this truly is? So let's go to Governor Josh Shapiro here. I believe we have that video in the list. I don't see it on my list, but should have here. Governor Josh Shapiro says people who track AIPAC could be anti-Semites. He says that monitoring AIPAC donors is dangerous and it's a way to silence certain voices. I think what we've seen is a weaponization, that danger to our system. So in reality, the weaponization has occurred by AIPAC. They're the ones weaponizing the legal system to go after their opponents. But they're saying that exposing this or talking about this makes you an anti-Semite, makes you a dangerous domestic terrorist. And I guarantee you, Sebastian Gorka is perfectly aligned with leftist liberal Democrat Josh Shapiro in this, because it's not about Democrat and Republican. It's not about patriot versus subversive. It's not about any of that. It's about what benefits Israel. At the end of the day, that's what matters to them. Let's watch.
Has AIPAC now become, in a Democratic primary at least, an anchor around some of these candidates, something to be avoided?
Yeah, I don't know. And look, it's never been an issue in any of my races at the state level, but I do think it has cynically been used by some. I'm going to make this a broad statement, not about the race here in Philly, but I think it's been used cynically by some to try and silence certain voices, to try and say that certain people participating in politics shouldn't count or should be viewed in a toxic way. Now, do I agree with every political decision they've made, every endorsement they made? Of course not.
Have they hurt themselves, do you think, AIPAC?
But I think what we have seen is a weaponization of that. And I think that is a danger for our system. When you have people who are advocating for issues that they feel strongly about, and they are having their voices silenced, I think that's a problem in our system.
There's a blurring between being against AIPAC and being against Jewish folks giving money, you're saying?
I think it does get blurred, because now what you are seeing is not, you know, quote unquote, AIPAC money or however it was termed, but you're getting the Jews who give to that candidate who also support AIPAC. I think it's very dangerous in our system. If you are trying to silence certain voices based on their race, based on their faith, based on their particular ideology.
So again, it's just a satanic inversion of what's actually happening. And that's obvious, right? That AIPAC are the ones who are manipulating our system and that you're allowed to oppose them. But they're basically saying that it's dangerous to oppose them. It's dangerous to oppose people on the basis of their identity, I guess you could say, but of course, it's going to go the other way. So again, it's not about left or right. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about Israel and America. And these people understand that the opposition to the Israeli war, the opposition to being controlled by Israeli money through organizations like AIPAC, is a threat to their power. And so they're putting all of the pieces in place. They're slowly but surely building up all the requisite components to make it illegal to oppose Israel outright in this country. And it already essentially is, because of the enforcement mechanisms they have through private organizations like Stop Antisemitism, who will destroy your life and are allowed to operate with impunity. So don't tell me that the American government or Donald Trump is going after Hassan Piker because he cares so much about our system. He's in bed with the people destroying it. And so they're trying to create this false dichotomy where they say everybody that's against Israel is on the left, as well as the data center crap. U.S. law enforcement warns anti-tech extremism as AI hatred grows. So they're now claiming that hating data centers makes you a terrorist as well, despite the fact that there's never been terrorist attacks against the data centers. They're, I guess, getting ahead of that. The flock cameras, of course, are the other necessary component of the infrastructure, the flock surveillance triple threat. There's a flock Raven microphone that's attached to telephone poles near you as we speak. It's a fixed acoustic center that constantly monitors an area for gunshot screams and flagged sounds, triangulating their origin and alerting police instantly. Flock cameras, LPR, roadside surveillance cameras, continually capturing plates, vehicle fingerprints, and movement patterns, turning every passing car into a searchable data point for police. And then the Flock Alpha drone, an anonymous police drone that launches from its dock to rapidly track, zoom in on, and follow targets from above, streaming real-time aerial intelligence. And we've got a presentation about that. We're just not going to have enough time to get to it here. We'll have to save that for tomorrow. I am going to continue to cover all of this stuff tomorrow when I'm back here in the studio for the Alex Jones Show, because we've got huge variety of insane things happening. And I'm going to get into the Vine and Trig or Vine and Fig Tree organization as well. That's the pro-Israel organization with ties into the administration. The VFT was at the White House meeting with Sebastian Gorka. Shortly after that White House meeting, I was contacted through a third party and asked to script write for VFT. The individual who contacted me is very publicly Christian and widely perceived as America First. I was told the script would be used to create an AI-generated video on behalf of the White House, specifically for the NSC and Sebastian Gorka. They told me, quote, yeah, we have to do this on behalf of them, the administration, because they don't want it to look like it's actually coming from the White House. You know what I mean? I mean, it worked out for them and Nick Shirley. I was then given a Dropbox link containing research, polling data, internal comments, and strategy material compiled by VFT and the third party involved. Inside the Dropbox were 7 folders. Through these documents, I learned more about what the organization actually does. Their reports monitor major conservative and dissident right accounts and frequently frame those accounts as being vulnerable to or participating in foreign influence operations. The report includes information regarding Nick Fuentes, the Hodge twins, Real Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Jackson Hinkle, Ian Carroll, Mario Nawfall, just to name a few. They also collected polling and response data surrounding Joe Kent's resignation from the administration. So again, Jackson Hinkle, quote-unquote MAGA communist, far-left guy. Ian Carroll, more of a lefty than a, you know, hardcore conservative, social conservative right-winger. Hodge twins, basic conservative commenters, you know, far-right dissidents, but, you know, aren't exactly friendly to Israel. It's Israel. Israel is the unifying thing about all these people. So you've got Vine and Fig Tree Network conspiring with Sebastian Gorka to create the framework to label these people and anybody else that opposes Israel as far-left terrorists as they create the data center infrastructure to put into practice the terrorist designation and destroy you without ever even having to present it to a court. It's all happening at the behest of and for the benefit of Israel, and we can declare independence from them once and for all if we feel like it, if we ever wanted to. It wouldn't be that hard.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.